I had three ways I wanted to start this episode. That's fairly uncommon because this was originally meant to be an episode of the Humper Anime, which at every beginning has the phrase, "Hello and welcome to the Humper Anime. I am your host, GPC Great Podcaster Callie." And however, upon finishing Welcome to the NHK, I felt the need to start the episode in one of three ways, while somehow intertwining the two. Given my laid-back nature and sheepish voice that borders on sleepy, despite being able to cover several different anime through different lenses such as tea, emotional check-ins, and the concept of a literal library, I found myself unable to make an even adequate episode, trying a staggering 11 times to go through the recording process, getting several minutes in, and ultimately swearing, yelling, and crying at what I consider to be ineptitude on my part. Was I losing my touch? After 3 years, had I finally become washed up and lost what I considered to be one of my defining features, that being my analytical mind? Or was this just the anime that was always going to hang over me, keeping my head and shoulders down for the rest of my time as an anime scholar? Before I reveal what the answer truly is, I'd like to present to you my three introductions. Number one, God is a villain. There have been several iterations of this phrase, this belief, that have plagued society for generations. Why has God forsaken me, one may ask. Is God even real? Another may question. How did my life end up this way, and who's responsible? That is the most common inquiry that people may have, no matter what their given circumstance is, myself included. So to hear this come from a child battered not only physically, but also mentally and emotionally, is one of the most heart-wrenching things to ever exist. Welcome to the Humper Anime, and welcome to the NHK. I felt this was extremely heavy-handed and leaned way into one part of the multifaceted series. It would ultimately be a detractor for the entire episode, which would force me to come back to the one notion, that being that God is a villain, with that piece about the child still in full effect. After all, there's only a short amount of time that a listener is willing to give an episode or a video before they. Ah, fuck. Number two.
So you see, that's where the trouble began.
The character designs of Yoshitoshi
That damn.
Abe. The character designs of Yoshitoshi Abe. I thought this would be a funny way to start the episode, but would ultimately be an inside joke not many people who don't know me would get. That being about how my favorite character designer, Yoshitoshi Abe, always manages to lure me into some sort of series that I otherwise wouldn't have interest in, and just about every time he's attached to any project, it'll be both my pleasure and my emotional undoing for months, if not years. Number three. How about them hikikomori, huh? By that point, I was at the end of my rope. I couldn't come up with anything truly unique and thought that cheap humor would be my way into talking about what was ultimately one of the most life-defining anime I'd ever seen. So I was lost. As I promised, the answer to why I couldn't do a proper podcast episode was so stupidly simple that I couldn't fathom it until 2 weeks after I had finished the anime. As immature as it may sound, I honestly couldn't make a proper episode because, for the first time in my life, not out of offense nor anger, I encountered a piece of media that genuinely hurt my feelings by being bold enough to hold a mirror up to my face and expose just about everything I didn't like about myself. The premise of Welcome to the NHK has a plot that has the complexity of the human spirit, focusing on conspiracy theories to determine why things happen to certain people, suicide pacts, mental, emotional, and physical abuse, mental illness, online discourse, disillusionment with society, inferiority and superiority complexes, and of course, what can cause social withdrawal. In 1832, the Brotherhood of Death, also known as Order 322, also known as the Order or simply Skull and Bones, was founded. It housed several members who went on to become powerful figures in American history, one of which being George W. Bush Jr., who on withdrawal. Welcome to the NHK revolves around Sato, a shut-in who is labeled by several to be a hikikomori. I use the term revolves around rather than centers on because in this story, the world, from a metaphorically narrative perspective, has everything that happens around Sato affect him to some degree. Whether that be the insertion of Misaki, a girl who proudly carries promise to cure Sato of his hikikomori, Yamazaki, a college student who was an underclassman of Sato's when they were in high school, who looked up to Sato and now lives next door, giving him the promise of becoming a game developer to deter any unwanted attention from Misaki due to his fear of the outside world and resistance to change, or Sato's former upperclassman, Hitomi, who in high school introduced Sato to the world of conspiracy theories and now lives an unfulfilled life that can only be bearable from the use of prescription drugs. Sato himself only became a shut-in after having what I can only call an anxiety attack while going to class one day during his first year of college. He ran home in a frenzy and, at the beginning of the story, had rarely left his apartment for roughly 3 years. He spends that time in fear of the world being against him and having delusions of everything from imaginary figures to his home appliances talking to him. While this alone is enough to write an award-winning thesis on, I always promise to lay myself bare to my listeners. The delusions that Sato finds himself in are similar to the straits I've found myself in. The paranoia of feeling like everyone is out to get you, the comfort of home being your only refuge, and any idea of that comfort being taken away from you, feeling like you're going to have a heart attack. The reliance of television as your only friend and coping mechanism, the delusions of not being able to tell what's right or real, only to realize as an adult, you, alongside others, are subject to what is widely acknowledged as
a new age has dawned, and the world will never be the same again. Welcome to the Sonic Age. Feel the rush of blistering next-gen speeds.
And what a term neurodivergence is. Between wearing the hair off of my head by the age of 20, to feeling abandoned by others without understanding how my behavior contributed to their leaving, I felt Sato's pain even when Sato didn't understand that what he felt was pain. Emotional intelligence plays a huge part in this anime, making characters who are struggling and inherently tone-deaf become part of an enriching series that proves that, despite all of the hardships that we may face, there may be hope of sunshine the next day if we're willing to take that next step forward. Maybe well too fitting is the notion that, really, everything is a conspiracy theory. The desolate feelings that come with the idea that God is out to get you more than anyone else and will 100% ruin you if the whim is present are terrifying to say the least. In a world full of multiple beliefs, gods, and practices, there seem to be two camps, one whose devout nature borders on harrowing and another who beckons that out of all the people and all gods, why did we have to be matched up? Why am I the one on your chopping block? And that is what makes Misaki, the youngest of the characters in Sato's gravitational pull, so intriguing. Without going too far into spoiling anything, which I'm trying to be careful about, the hurt that she's endured and the pain that she and Sato inflict onto one another is the epitome of working on getting out of toxicity, which, on top of being extremely admirable, also shows an innate desire, or rather need, to be loved, which is essential for many to live an even minimally bearable life. That says little to nothing of the emotional desolation that comes from Hitomi, the former upperclassman who, in the most literal sense, tricked herself into and immediately fell out of love with the idea of death via a suicide pact that in the end is only appealing to the most selfish character in the series, who, while thinking only of themselves and the pain that they inflict on others and the sorrow that awaits their return to daily life, screams in emotional anguish in what I can only call one of the best vocal performances I've ever heard in my life. What is so perplexing yet understanding about Hitomi's character is how she's equal parts an enigma and extremely relatable. That being that the tiniest bit of love she can hold on to is enough to get her through a season. But how long will that tiny bit be enough? And how much more will it take to satiate her or any of us the next time a depressive episode comes around? It's this concept that would make even some medical professionals shudder, as it, with Hitomi's episodes and dependence on Big Pharma, create what some would call a serious mental health concern, now more than in 2006, and others a conspiracy. In 1985, the Coca-Cola Company released a product simply titled New Coke, which many claim to be an inferior recipe that was meant to drive sales of the original Coca-Cola, which former Coca-Cola president Donald Keough rebuked, stating, "The truth is, we're not that dumb, and we're not that smart." Coca-Cola would then go on to end. Giorgio Armani is a clone, and so is Gucci Mane. What kills me about Yamazaki's character is that, by all accounts, despite his being an otaku obsessed with eroges and figurines, he was essentially just a passionate nerd who consistently got ahead of himself. That arrogance and hubris essentially led to what makes his stories of shattered dreams, derequited love, and forced normality all rather natural. Despite his nature stating otherwise, he's always upfront and has very little to hide. His abrasive nature is one of passion, which makes everything he does seem irrational, but given his circumstance, to someone less sensitive and more, quote, objective, unquote, he's relatively normal. He's the cog that tells everyone in the story, despite how they may feel and what qualms they may have with their lives, that things must continue to progress and will, with or without them. This is earth-shattering to those who may inadvertently carry on in their daily lives as deceitful, aloof, or, as Sato exemplifies consistently, fearful. It makes him a character worth truly listening to despite his lack of tact, and potentially why, again, to a less sensitive but possibly more sensible person, that he receives what many may call the good ending. Communication is key in all factors of life. Without communication, humanity would fail. That is a simple fact. Despite what we may feel, the world, unfortunately, does not revolve around us. Though there are times that I wish I could hide my face and my entire being, a feeling that many more people related to coming out of the pandemic, it stands to reason that none of us can. While I'm hesitant to use the word stuck, we all have our roles to play, whatever they may be. What are we called here to do? Why us? Why now? What keeps us afloat? And why, for the first time in my entire life, did I write a script for a podcast episode? The answers will evade us until we figure them out. Well, except that last one, I gave you the answer earlier. Sato is an immature, terrified shell of a person, but a person nonetheless. Welcome to the NHK destroyed me because no matter what stage I'm in life, I see the pitfalls all of these characters present. and when bonded together with mostly grounded animation that isn't far detached from reality in any sense, especially when you look at the wide variety of mental illnesses that we are just learning more and more about, and a stellar music score, you get one of the greatest pieces of media that you'll ever watch. You can also read the novel, which has the art from Yoshitoshi Abe, or the manga, but I didn't because I don't fucking read.
2-1-0, all engines running.
Some resources in the description of this episode in case anyone is struggling with any of the topics I've discussed here. Life is hard, there's no denying it, and we all deserve help if we want or need it. Thank you for listening to this episode. As with many others, I've truly enjoyed crafting this one. And as always, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. You can email me recommendations at ouranimehome@gmail.com. And if you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider subscribing to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. You're all wonderful, and so is Welcome to the NHK. God. I can finally move on. I don't think I'll have to write any scripts for any of these fucking... Huh? Wait. No. Oh, shit. Never mind. Take care.